This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Another busy day for White House action. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, January 26th. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump has signed orders calling for work on a physical border with Mexico to begin quickly. He also wants an increase in deportations and a probe into voter fraud.
The shootings keep mounting in Chicago. One day after the president threatened federal intervention, 14 people were shot yesterday.
On Wall Street, the Dow industrials have closed above 20,000 for the first time. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ also reached records.
And Pepsi will launch a premium water brand with ads in the Super Bowl.
So this is a big moment. If you think about the soda wars that we've seen over the past few decades, this is new territory. Pepsi, for the very first time, is featuring a bottled water brand in a Super Bowl ad.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney on Pepsi's push into premium water. Find out what's in it. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, President Trump is calling for increased deportations and a quick start on building a wall on the border with Mexico. In his vision, stricter border controls and immigration enforcement are needed to keep out illegals who unfairly compete with Americans for jobs, as well as drug smugglers, criminals, and terrorists who threaten their way of life.
We have criminals that are here. We have really bad people that are here. Those people have to be worried because they're getting out. We're going to get them out. We're going to get them out fast.
Yesterday's first order directs federal officials to immediately begin planning, designing, and constructing a physical wall on the border, though there's room for something else, perhaps like fencing. In an interview with ABC News, Mr. Trump said he expected U.S. taxpayer dollars to construct the barrier and that reimbursement from Mexico would follow. Mexico says that ain't happening. Dow Jones Industrial Average has closed above 20,000 for the first time. This is part of the rally that began in 2009 and steadily climbed for several years, then took off after Donald Trump was elected. Mr. Trump's moves during his first week in office to promote infrastructure projects and cut regulation help give the Dow Industrials the final push over the 20,000 mark, with investors betting he'll follow through with business-friendly plans like cutting taxes and increasing government spending. Art Hogan is chief market strategist with Wunderlich Securities.
I certainly think the promise of more pro-growth, pro-business, less regulated business environment in the future is being priced in a bit here, too. So we'll give him half the credit and certainly give half the credit to an economy that was improving already.
The Dow closed up yesterday 156 points at 20,068. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ Composite also reached records. But many investors are urging caution. Interest rates are still relatively low, meaning there's a sluggishness to the global economy. Well, President Trump has set a pretty blistering pace since taking office, quickly addressing things on his priority list. How are supporters and critics responding? Here's James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. Jim, explain what you're hearing.
Sure. Well, what we've seen is Donald Trump being really quick out of the gate with a bunch of executive orders, getting a lot of his nominees through the Senate, even though Republicans have only a narrow majority there, holding a real high number of meetings with business leaders, with labor leaders, and really seeming to have, at least early on, a real impact on policy and really starting to fulfill some of the campaign promises that he made throughout 2016 really early in his administration, just a few days in.
Is this an unusual pace?
In some respects, it's an unusual pace. Now, he's been set up for some of this by President Obama, former President Obama, because Obama tried to govern so much through executive order and really set up Trump to be able to rescind a bunch of those executive orders. So that's part of it. But the other part of it is I think Trump wants to demonstrate that as a businessman, as a negotiator, as a wheeler-dealer, he's a man of action, and that politicians and bureaucrats are all talk. So Trump, I think, feels that he really needs to have a fast start. And so far, he really has had a lot of action on a number of fronts and really discombobulated the Democrats.
Yeah. I was going to say, on the politics front, what does this mean, this this frenetic pace for Democrats?
It makes it harder for them to focus on any one thing. So, you know, maybe they would have lashed out at the order reinstating some restrictions on funding to international organizations that are involved with abortion. Maybe they would have focused on Keystone and the Dakota Access Pipeline. Maybe they would have focused on the regulation freeze, maybe the federal hiring freeze. But with all of those things happening in such rapid succession, it's hard for them to really target any individual Trump administration action.
You think that's by design, or is that an unintended consequence?
Oh, I think it's definitely by design. Now whether some of the controversies that Trump is getting involved in, you know, clearly a lot of the media attention is still focused on inaugural crowd sizes and how many illegal immigrants voted in the presidential election. You know, whether that's a deliberate smokescreen strategy, I think, is a little bit more debatable. But I think Trump is definitely acting on so many fronts to make it harder for the Democrats to target him, but also at the same time to show that he can really do a lot more than a standard politician can.
We're speaking with Jim Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. He's got a piece called Trump Tornado Hits Washington. You mentioned, too, he's even reshaping basically how the White House deals with the media. Explain what's gone on there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's questioning or allowing questions from media outlets a lot more than previous administrations, even Republican administrations, really did. Now, part of that is the internet is more advanced now, so there are a lot more conservative publications out there. But I mean, they've been calling on the conservative press. They've been talking about allowing more press access outside of the official White House press corps. Yet at the same time, Trump's overall relations with the media is very adversarial, and Trump clearly uses the media as a foil. Certainly the media is less popular, according to public opinion polls, than he is. So oftentimes when he's in trouble, he picks a fight with the media, yeah, and the media goes along with it.
Do you get the sense that maybe some of his less harshest critics are saying, okay, wait a minute, maybe this guy does deserve a second look?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you look at the polling, there is a segment of the population that maybe doesn't like him. They have some misgivings about some of his personal characteristics, but they think that he could succeed and are open to giving him a chance. And I think some of this early flurry of activity is designed to try to appeal to those very voters.
Thanks, Jim. James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business-class PC featuring Intel Core processors lets small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Glad you're with us. Good Thursday to you. Actress Mary Tyler Moore has died. She was best known for her role as a single career woman on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, which changed the way women were portrayed on television. Ms. Moore, who had long suffered from diabetes and had been in failing health for some time, died at Greenwich Hospital in Connecticut yesterday. As Mary Richards, the news producer at a Minneapolis TV station, she embodied the early feminist movement of the 1970s and became a role model for a generation of women.
What is a family, anyway? They're just people who make you feel less alone and really loved.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show won 29 Emmys, including several for Ms. Moore. It was a staple on CBS for 7 years. She is a Brooklyn native who grew up in L.A., initially dreamed of being a dancer. And she also had skills off the screen. She was a partner with her husband in MTM Enterprises, which was a prolific comedy and drama producer in the 70s and 80s. Mary Tyler Moore was 80. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump's vow to accelerate construction of a contiguous physical wall along the Mexican border is again raising the question, who's going to pay for it? Trump told ABC News there will be immediate construction.
They are going to pay for it. I never said they're going to pay from the start. I said Mexico will pay for the wall. But what I would tell my supporters is, would you like me to wait 2 years or 3 years before I make this deal? Because we have to make a deal on NAFTA. We have to make a new trade deal with Mexico.
Mexico's president condemned Trump's order to build a wall and reiterated that Mexico will not pay for any wall. Chicago officials say they would welcome more federal help in addressing the city's violence, including in prosecuting repeat gun offenders, but ruled out extreme measures, such as sending in the National Guard. After President Trump vowed to send in the feds, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said help is needed.
It's going to take everybody, police, community members, clergy, business owners, elected officials. Everybody has a stake in this game. It's going to take everybody to reduce this gun violence.
Just last night, six people in Chicago were shot during a vigil for a gunshot victim. A former Army surgeon convicted of killing his pregnant wife and their two daughters nearly five decades ago is getting another chance to argue that he's innocent. An appeals panel will hear arguments today in the case of Jeffrey McDonald, who inspired the book and TV miniseries Fatal Vision. The 73-year-old has long maintained that the killings were committed by drug-crazed hippies who broke into his North Carolina apartment. It will be an all-Williams affair at the Australian Open final after Serena Williams joined sister Venus today in reaching the championship match. Venus beat fellow American Coco Vandeweghe in three sets, while Serena barely broke a sweat in a two-set win over 79th-ranked Mirjana Lucic-Baroni of Croatia. Serena told ESPN she can't wait to play her sister.
She's my toughest opponent. I've never lost anyone as much as I've lost to Venus, so definitely my toughest opponent. But honestly, I really feel like I've already won. Williams is going to win. I never root against her.
At 35 and 36, they will be the oldest two players ever to meet in a Grand Slam final.
When are they going to pass that torch to the younger generation?
Well, Coco Vandeweghe is 25, I believe. It's her best match by far. She never reached a semifinal before, so there are a few up-and-comers.
Three out of four Americans
in
the semis.
Very unusual.
Pretty good. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. You may be looking forward to the beer or chip ads that air during the Super Bowl, but one beverage and food company will be trying to get your attention by pushing bottled water made through reverse osmosis. Say what? Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney has a look at Pepsi's plan to market premium water. Jennifer, set this up.
So this is a big moment. If you think about the soda wars that we've seen over the past few decades, this is new territory. Pepsi, for the very first time, is featuring a bottled water brand in a Super Bowl ad, and they're using it to take aim at Coke's premium water brand, which is called Smart Water.
All right, so this this brand Life Water from Pepsi, then, is it different somehow? Is it I don't know. What's new?
So it's positioned as a premium water, and they do that by adding electrolytes for taste. It's pH balanced. It's purified through reverse osmosis. And perhaps the most notable thing about it is the packaging. The clear plastic bottles have textured labels that are designed by a whole series of emerging artists.
Wow. How much of the price is reflected in just the marketing of the package?
Well, to give you an example, their 1 liter bottle is going to go for around $270.
And what's, not to get into the weeds too much here, what is exactly reverse osmosis? How does that work for water?
You know, there's a bunch of different ways that that bottled water is purified. There's spring water that comes directly from a spring. So if you're familiar with Poland Spring in the Northeast, or Fiji, which comes from a spring in Fiji. So reverse osmosis goes through a membrane, and meanwhile, Smart Water, which is Coke's premium water brand, that's purified through vapor distillation, which is like you evaporate it and then condense it.
You know way too much about bottled water.
I'm learning quickly.
I could see you with your friends. I can't have that because of the distilled hydration. That's just not my thing. So this, the Super Bowl, I mean, that's a big commitment, right? I mean, advertising there. What is it that that Pepsi's looking for? Does it want a piece of the action? Does it feel it can dominate this space?
Right. So they're taking aim at the premium water segment, which right now is dominated by Smartwater. Smartwater was acquired by Coke in 2007 and has been a surprise hit for them. It had $1 billion in sales in 2016, and it represents 44% of the fast-growing premium water segment. So this is Pepsi's first foray into the premium water segment, and so their opening salvo is a Super Bowl ad.
Thanks, Jennifer. Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney. So you got this this life water, as Pepsi will call it, right? Made with reverse osmosis. You got the likes of Poland Spring and Fiji Water, both which come from just streams. And then I believe she said the likes of Dasani and Aquafina come from municipal water. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Thursday, January 26, Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump signs an order to get the Mexico wall going quickly and wants to ramp up deportations. He also wants a probe into voter fraud. 14 shootings in Chicago yesterday. Dow closes above 20,000. Facebook testing ads on Messenger. Mary Tyler Moore dies at 80. Butch Trucks, drummer for the Allman Brothers Band, has died at 69. Elon Musk plans to start digging a tunnel under L.A. in a month or so, he says on Twitter. And the Virginia teenager who pulled off an incredible college entrance feat. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, you're well aware at this point that President Trump is planning to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. It's very high on the to-do list. But if Obamacare is thrown out, what will that mean for our taxes? We're joined now by Eva Rosenberg, columnist for MarketWatch and founder of TaxMama.com. Eva, what can we expect?
Well, the president signed an executive order, but it doesn't actually do anything specific for the tax impact at this point. What I am hoping that it will do once Congress clears it and the IRS then interprets it is, at very least, to avoid all of the penalties for people who haven't had adequate insurance and, you know, who may not have paid in enough or whatever, because there are so many ugly penalties sitting out there for people who just couldn't get care or who got canceled by the different marketplaces or by the different insurers who couldn't make it in their state.
Mm. So will there be any impact on, say, the 2016 filing, which is due, obviously, this April?
Well, what I'm recommending to everyone is, if you're facing penalties, put your tax return on extension, because I believe that there will be an impact, that the penalties will probably get waived. And what I'm actually hoping for is that people who may have faced penalties last year might also get those waived. That's what I'm hoping.
Wow. Under what scenario? Say another stroke of the pen or something that Congress does?
By defining this executive order, because this executive order is broad in general, and it doesn't actually have specific teeth or specific definitions on what is going to be waived, forgiven, or simplified. So now Congress has to define it, then IRS has to interpret and set up procedures that we can follow. But may I tell you one thing about those penalties from prior years and current years?
Sure.
Unlike other taxes and penalties that the IRS collect, they can't collect these penalties. So they can't go out and chase after you. They can't attach your bank account. They can't attach your wages. The only way that IRS can collect any of these ACA-related penalties is if a taxpayer has refunds. They can take it out of refunds. So if you make sure you don't have any refunds, they can't collect those penalties at all.
Jeez. We're speaking with Eva Rosenberg, TaxMama.com. She's the founder and CEO, also a columnist for MarketWatch. And she's written about the three ways the potential ACA repeal will impact your taxes. All right, so what about, are there differences here for folks who have or do not have, say, an exchange plan?
This is one of the big downsides of this whole, you know, repeal ACA because they don't have anything to replace it. And those exchanges in the various states have federal funding to back them up. So if you're going to repeal ACA, you're going to repeal the funding. And a lot of people who can barely afford even the premiums in the exchange may not be able to afford the premiums once it's been repealed. So that's a huge concern. And you know that probably the biggest impact is going to be on single parents.
So broadly speaking, I mean, are you confident that can happen?
Yeah, some of it. Some of the proposals that President Trump has outlined could look interesting. Some of them make no sense whatsoever or impractical from a budget balancing standpoint, and a lot of them will impact the rich in a very favorable way. But again, he wants to eliminate head of household filing status, which is a single parent with children. Mm-hmm. And those people are going to end up paying more taxes, and they are among the poorest statistically in the country. In fact, they're the ones who often are the kinds of people who may even end up homeless as a result of financial problems. So not clear on the logic behind that part of it.
Thanks, Eva. Eva Rosenberg, columnist for MarketWatch, founder of TaxMama.com. 20 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us, and a good Friday Eve to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's been a long time coming, but the NBA's Philadelphia 76ers have been surprisingly competitive this season, with some fans even dreaming about a potential playoff berth for the first time in a long time after a torturous half-decade rebuilding process. The wins have been so frequent as of late, in fact, that the team and its fans even have developed their own post-game win ritual, Raise the Cat. The team began the celebratory tradition after one fan was inspired by injured rookie Ben Simmons' posts about his two F2 Savannah cats on social media. The fan named Dennis Grove then celebrated the team's January 13th win by sharing a photo of himself lifting his 20-pound cat over his head with the hashtag Raise the Cat.
Oh boy.
Other fans quickly adopted the idea, deciding to lift their cats into the air following Sixers wins, and it eventually found its way back to Simmons, who then shared a photo with his two cats raised in the air alongside the hashtag. Grove's idea has even spawned merchandise bearing the slogan, with all profits benefiting local animal welfare group Philly Paws. Yeah, so it's not it's not exactly raise the W yet.
Okay, right.
It's not to that level.
Yes.
We're not, you know, not everybody's on board, but it sounds like something that's sort of growing, and they've been winning a lot lately. I think they've won like 8 of their last 10 or something like that. So it's been happening a lot. A lot of raised cats in Philly right now.
Well, the standards are fairly low.
Right.
For the 76ers.
Right.
And all this celebration, I know they're red hot, as you point out, but the celebration is over a team that ultimately, as I look at the standings, are 17 and 27.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Philly, they set the record, I think, for most losses, right, recently within the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, the standards are low, and, 17 wins right now, that's like a season and a half's worth for them, from the last 5 years.
Things are looking up. They're only 13 games back.
Yes.
Right, of first place Milwaukee.
Yeah, so the fans are positively giddy right now.
Which is hard when you've only won 17 games to be 13 back.
Yes.
Yes, so calm down, Philadelphia, and raise the cat. And please don't hurt any cats.
Right. That's the most important part.
That's what's going to happen next. Like, this is for Philly Paws, right? The nonprofit, but there's going to be one video of somebody dropping one, and
all
then
it takes is one person,
animal
right?
folks are going to step in and say, enough of this.
Yeah, you're probably right. And we've all heard, Gordon, that we can score free stuff from stores and restaurants on our birthday, but how many of us really take advantage of these companies' generosity and maximize our free birthday fun? Uproxx.com says that one YouTuber named Kent Yashimura did just that and came away with a pretty impressive haul. Kent documented his travels on his birthday, January 18th, starting out the day with a free Grand Slam breakfast from Denny's. From there, he stopped stop by Red Robin for a free burger and fries, Starbucks for free coffee, Johnny Rockets for another free burger and fries, complete with a ketchup smiley face, and eventually made his way to Hooters, Veggie Grill, and Krispy Kreme, among other stops. When all was said and done, by the end of the day, Ken impressively managed to rack up over $94 worth of stuff just for being born on that day. The video, by the way, has now been seen over 75,000 times, so some of these restaurants might want to prepare for an onslaught of folks looking for birthday handouts this year, including perhaps yourself. Don't you have a big birthday coming up?
I do.
In a couple of weeks?
Yes.
Maybe you've got some ideas here.
Turning 25.
Because I think this guy celebrated his birthday probably the way you and I would, right? By eating his way through it.
It's true. You can't do that too often, though. And fries for lunch, and then
burger and fries for snack
for dinner. Yeah, Krispy Kreme donuts,
bunch of Hooters wings thrown in there too.
What's the Denny's Grand Slam? That's probably sausage, pancakes, eggs, and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
the whole works.
That's a great day's work, my man, right there. That's a great day's work. A week's worth of calories.
Yes, I am inspired by this. I got to tell you,
me too. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump's renewed embrace of torture in the fight against Islamic extremism sets up a heated dispute with a long line of opponents, both at home and abroad. Trump spoke exclusively with ABC News.
When they're chopping off the heads of people because they happen to be a Christian in the Middle East, when ISIS is doing things that nobody has ever heard of since medieval times, would I feel strongly about waterboarding? As far as I'm concerned, we have to fight fire with fire.
But Republican Senator John Thune of South Dakota says that's not going to happen.
Torture, that's banned. The Army Field Manual, it makes that very clear. And the law now is tied to the Army Field Manual. And so we view that to be a matter of settled law.
Trump's draft order would also reverse President Obama's order to close the military detention center at Guantanamo Bay. Congressional Republicans eager to deliver are about to find out whether Donald Trump can stay focused on their goals in his first appearance before them as president. Trump will speak today to House and Senate GOP lawmakers at their annual policy retreat. The Los Angeles City Council has given final approval to a proposal that could bring the 2024 Olympic Games to Southern California. The unanimous vote legally empowers the city to host the Games if Los Angeles is selected by the International Olympic Committee in September. She didn't make speeches or openly rebel against the way women are treated, but in a cheerful yet direct way, Mary Tyler Moore helped advance feminism all across the country through the characters she played on TV. Moore, who died yesterday at the age of 80, starred in two hugely popular TV sitcoms, one in the 70s, the other in the 60s, but in both The Dick Van Dyke Show and The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Moore bucked the trend in the way women were portrayed on TV. Dan Feinberg, TV critic with The Hollywood Reporter, says Moore was extraordinarily talented.
If you put an iconic central figure in the middle of it and then surround them with actors who were capable of stealing scenes, carrying episodes, being both dramatic and comedic at a moment's notice, it was a unique brew.
Moore won 7 Emmys and was nominated for an Oscar for her work in Ordinary People.
How about just the Mary Tyler Moore Show with like 3 spinoffs?
Yeah.
Just showing like the, you know, the appeal of her.
They were all great. They were
show.
All funny, and they hold up today. When you watch them now, they're still funny.
Agreed. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Getting to be that time of year, right, when high school seniors and their parents start worrying, will kids get into the college they want? Will parents be able to pay for it? One remarkable young man in Fairfax County, Virginia, doesn't have to worry about that. WUSA-TV in Washington says 18-year-old Timothy Park, who attends the Trinity Christian School in Northern Virginia, has hit the grand slam. Admission to 4 of the Academy's military service academies. It's almost like getting into every one of the Ivy League schools with the added difficulty of getting a congressional nomination. He was all over local news last night for getting into the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, and the Coast Guard Academy in Connecticut. His father's a lieutenant colonel in the Army, perhaps one reason why Timothy says his first choice at this point is West Point, but he's keeping his options open. Timothy has not settled on a major field of study. But whatever he decides, of course, at the academies, tuition will be free. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.